Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final hour on this Monday, Steve Jones Show. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve there in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury.
Because of everything, we did not get to your rant of the day. And normally the weekends bring with it issues.
Yes. But actually, that was kind of my lone rant, was the outrageous amount of commercials, the long waits in between crashes at the end, especially in between both overtimes. Like, it just, everything was too long with the Daytona 500. It was a good ending to the race. Most of the race was kind of so-so. It wasn't that much action, but the end was great. Just, it took too long to keep things moving. Like, you know, I don't have all night. My 3-year-old wanted to watch Mowers on TV, and I had to, like, fight him for the TV just so I could see the ending because it was taking so long. Like, come on. I shouldn't have to fight with my 3-year-old for the TV because you take a half hour in between crashes to get the track set. It should not take that long.
SpongeBob is only a half hour show.
Well, we're not into SpongeBob.
What? What are you into?
He watches mowers on TV. He watches kids and their dads work on and mow the grass and work on the mowers. And he watches all the, like, them work on combines and all the sort of other that sort of stuff. He's not really into the cartoon. He's an atypical 3-year-old. I'm serious.
Okay, well,
it is the same adorable thing every night. We watch kids and mowers, put it just on YouTube and or stuff about combines.
Really, it's really adorable.
I was reading last night with him this book we got him, the Encyclopedia of Tractors and Combines.
Yeah. That's what you got him for Christmas?
for his birthday, yeah. And he can't get enough of it.
To each his own.
Yes, absolutely.
I'll let America decide on a scale of 1 to 10.
That's fine.
That is.
Yeah.
All right, so, wow. Okay. Jalen Pickett put on a show last week where he had 73 points on 40 shots. He had 32 on 20 shots the other night, which is 1.6 points a shot, after getting 41 on 20 shots against Illinois, which is obviously a fraction above 2 points a shot. I mean, these are gold standard shots. I mean, that's gold standard games, back-to-back. And it's interesting because What's interesting about that is you know who doesn't really pay attention to the scoreboard or to in-game stats? It's Micah Shrewsbury. Every once in a while, Michael will look up like 5 minutes ago, kind of get engaged, because he's so engaged in what to call next. He kind of coaches the game by feel more than anything else. Like, what's happening? Where's the mismatch? What's going on? What are they doing? And if you recall the post game last week, I think Dick asked him about Jalen's 41. Well, I'd say, hey, let's not bury the lead. He had 41 points, blah, blah, blah. What'd you think? Da, da, da. And he said, look, I'm looking down at the stat sheet at halftime. And I'm like, I'm just looking to see certain things. And he says, oh, my goodness. He says, he's got 24 points. This is the halftime. He goes, really? He said, I had no idea he had 24 points. And he ends up with 41. Then on Saturday night, he had 32, does the same thing. He's the National Player of the Week by two different organizations, including ESPN, and he's the Big Ten Player of the Week. But this is the level he's playing at. The question for me is going to be whether for him, the big question to me is, regardless of individual accolades, can they win here down the stretch? I mean, it's another one where they've got to go to Ohio State. It is a quad one. I don't know if Zedke's going to play. To me, that's what the whole ball game is. Can they win enough to get to the NCAAs? They got four opportunities in the Big Ten tournament. Can they win enough to get there? They made two big steps last week by beating Illinois, which was a quad one, and then a game, as I pointed out the other day, they absolutely could not lose, was Minnesota. You just couldn't lose the game. Well, Penn State didn't. They won the game by 7. You got it, you move on. And again, in both those games, he was phenomenal. Now, there's some reasons why he's been phenomenal. A lot of it's been him. But I'll give you a credit to a guy that, and this is under the radar, but anybody who listened to the pregame show last week, and look, let's face it, I have no delusions of grandeur that all of you listen to the pregame show. But I'll sit down and I'll ask questions of Micah, and it's not just, hey, how's your team playing? How's it going? What about this matchup? But that doesn't give to me, the fan, any information. It's why you listen out Dick Girardi broadcast a basketball game. Dick Girardi tries to anticipate what's happening. He's trying to give you a feel for what's happening on the game, why it's happening. None of this mumbo jumbo stuff. He talked about it in my class today, and he talked about it to the Hoops Club today. And he said, look, he says, you're never going to hear, he says, you ever hear Steve and me refer to the center as the big fella? He says, have you ever heard at the end of the game they can get a 2 and not a 3? Dick says, yeah, they can get a 2, and the other team's going to come down. You're going to have to probably foul them. He says, they'll get 2 free throws. You still need a 3. Right? I mean, because there's a lot of nonsense that happens on broadcast. There's a lot of nonsense, both TV and radio. And, we don't really do the nonsense. We'll have fun, but we don't do the nonsense stuff like that. And so that's why I asked last week about the value of Andrew Funk as a screener. All of you think of Andrew Funk as a scorer, which I completely understand, because Andrew is an outstanding shooter. He is not a good shooter. He is an outstanding shooter, which is... But within the game, his screens, and I know I asked Jalen about it in the postgame show. You know, so I asked Micah on the pregame show, I think it was before Illinois, and then I asked Jalen in the postgame show Saturday night about Andrew Funk as a screener. And Funk is a superior screener because Penn State's guard-to-guard screens are a huge reason why they're getting open opportunities for really good shooters. And what will happen is on these guard-to-guards, and this happened at the end of the game, there's a minute 22 to go, where Andrew set the screen, Jalen took the screen, and then Andrew off the screen, instead of rolling to the bucket, slipped back. And Jalen, boom, second guy went with him, popped it back, Funk hit the three, put the game away. All right, and, you know, those are the subtle things in a game that, you know, we as announcers are looking for and talking about. And the fact that Funk is, he is a huge reason for the success Jalen Pickett's having because of the guard-to-guard screening action that they're getting. And so, and look, Pickett's been not just good, he's been great. I mean, in the history of college basketball, we now believe in the history of college basketball. He is the only player ever with 2,000 career points, 700 career rebounds, 700 career assists. The furthest they can go back on all these records are 37 years. There's nobody that's done it in 37 years. Nobody. And if you're wondering before that, remember what the parameters were before that. The parameters before that were freshmen weren't eligible. So these guys are playing 3 years. I mean, you're talking about Antoine Davis of Detroit Mercy, who's got a real chance to break Pete Maravich's record. Maravich did his in 3 years. Now, look, I know Pete Maravich has long since passed away. I doubt Pete Maravich would have any problem with a guy breaking it in 5 years. Right? But it's an unbelievable record. Right, because he did it in 3 years and without a three-point shot. But Maravich, for example, did not have... Now, he had a lot of assists in his career. He also didn't have a really good supporting cast around him either. Right? But you're looking... I mean, he's the only guy to do it. He's the only guy to do it. And not only that, he handed out 15 assists during this 73-point span. Really? And in a conference with Zach Edey, who's been great, Trace Jackson Davis, who absolutely has been great, and just hope this guy gets some recognition for it. I hope other people are seeing what we're seeing. And sometimes I wonder if they see what we see. I read an article yesterday. Patrick McCaffrey was saying, he says, geez, you know, all the time I've been here at Iowa, I've never played a Saturday home game in the conference. Right? And somebody said to me today, he said, see, somebody else have problems too. I said, no, Penn State played Iowa last year at Carver Hawkeye on a Saturday. They went, oh. I said, yeah, whomever wrote the article was wrong. It's like, it takes seconds to check stuff out. So I don't believe everything I read. Take my word. Because I remember last year being out there, it was a Saturday, and it was their only Saturday game in the conference. And they said that they were telling me how great it was because it was their one sellout for the year, and they said Saturday had a lot to do with it. I'm like, okay. And that was a year ago.
Shocking, it's Iowa.
No, but it had nothing to do with it, the fact that, you know, I mean, Patrick McCaffrey said it, and this guy just took him at his word. Well, I can tell you, here's the other part, too. Patrick played in the game. He came off the bench, but he played in the game. Okay, so. All right? But it takes seconds to find this stuff out. I mean, they invented this really cool thing called the Internet. Where you can look it up? Really?
Oh, my almighty!
So, that's why with all this TV stuff that's been going on and so forth, some of it is what I've been able to read. Some of it has been what I've been told. Some of it's been what I've asked. So it's a combination of things. Like there was some story floating around this weekend that Notre Dame has its deal now with NBC. They don't have a deal with NBC yet. They're still in their current deal, but they don't have a new deal with NBC yet. I mean, I don't know why that came up. I don't know. I have no idea.
They hired a new offensive coordinator, promoted from within. That was the story this weekend.
Right. I mean, I know him personally. Because Jared Parker had been the wide receiver coach here at Penn State. So I know Jared.
Do you like him? And that,
well, I mean, he was a good wide receiver coach. I liked him as a wide receiver coach, but I never saw him call. I did not. And look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to tell you I watch West Virginia play football. I really don't. So I don't know what kind of job he did as the offensive coordinator there. I don't. Yeah, I know he's the interim head coach at Purdue when Penn State played them in 2016. As a person, I like Jared a lot. And I thought he was doing a good job with the wide receivers. And then he had an opportunity to get more money to go to West Virginia as the OC, so he took it. Okay. That's fine. But as Billy, as a play caller, I couldn't even remotely tell you the kind of job.
Because I'm not enamored with it.
See, that's the difference, though. If I don't know, I'll say I don't know.
Yeah, exactly right. That's why I ask you first, because to me, I'm not enamored with this, because it just seems like this was something that Notre Dame was left to do because they couldn't bring in from Georgia and from Utah as well. That fell apart because Utah didn't want to let him go financially, so... I don't know.
He had a big buyout at Utah.
Yeah. And they weren't going to let him out.
Andy Ludwig?
Yes.
I know that, you know, the people at Utah love him. They love the defensive coordinator, too. I mean, I can tell you about Jared as a wide receiver coach. I know he coached tight ends at Notre Dame. I can tell you about as a wide receiver coach. I can tell you about him as a person. I can't tell you anything at all about him as a play caller.
Fair enough. I'll find out soon enough, I guess.
Well, part of it's personnel, too. Your personnel is going to determine what you do with it. All right, I'll tell you an old story. LaSalle is playing Villanova. And I think... Let's see. And... Speedy Morris, I think at this point, maybe Lionel Simmons is a senior at this point. And Steve Lapis is the coach at Villanova. And LaSalle absolutely destroys Villanova. Destroys them. It may have been after Lionel Simmons. But, you know, it definitely was after Lionel Simmons. So this is in the early 90s or something like that, after Rowley had left to go to, UNLV? Something like that. So Lapis is in there, and Speedy Morris's LaSalle team runs them out. Easy. The next year, Villanova beats LaSalle by 40. And Dick Girardi asked Steve Lapis, what's the difference in a year? Remember this quote. Okay? Everybody, remember this quote. Same plays, better players. Okay? Simple as simple gets. Same plays, better players. That's coaching. A lot of people have a lot of good plays. A lot of people have a lot of good plays. I've always told you the Joe Paterno story. We were doing the talk show was we always did it with Joe in the conference room. On the bottom floor of Lash, they had a conference room down there, and they had all these plays up on the board, drawn up on the board one day. Yeah, and we're sitting there doing the talk show, whatever, blah blah blah, and then we get to the commercial break, you know, before we take more calls. And Joe gets up and he says, "Steve," he says, "you want to know the absolute key to success to this play?" And he points to a play that's in the middle of the board. He takes one of those marker pens, black marker pens. He says, "See all this?" He says, "The key to this play is I want to know the name that's attached to this X, and I want to know the name attached to that O, and I'll tell you whether it's going to work or not." That's it. Penn State had a running game. They had Nicholas Singleton, Catron Allen. Voila! Things got better. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, RV, boat, motorcycle, whatever it may be. It's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. The NBA All-Star Game last night.
Get the lingerie on the deck, call the janitor.
Which I did not watch a second of.
Neither did I.
Has been roundly ripped across the board by people.
As it should be.
To the point where I believe it goes, did you ever see the movie Airplane?
Yes, I have actually.
The comedy, and with the co-pilot, Roger Murdoch.
Yes.
Who is played by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And a little kid walks into the cockpit. And he says, "Hey, you're Kareem Abdul-Jabbar." He goes, "No, I'm not. I'm Roger Murdoch, the co-pilot." And they start talking about the NBA. In fact, am I allowed to call it up here online? I think if we give attribution, right?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Why not?
Airplane, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, right? Because it's just better this way.
Absolutely.
Airplane Kareem Abdul-Jabbar scene. All right. So So let's see. Let's just make sure it's the right first. We're a little junior. Yeah, here it goes. Junior's in the cockpit. Peter Graves. Okay, here we go. All right. Oh, look, he's telling him about lawnmowers. No, I'm just kidding.
We better get back now, Joey.
No, Joey can stay here for a while if he'd like.
Could I? Okay, if you don't get in the way.
Flight 209er to Denver Radio. Climbing to cruise at 42,000. We'll report again over Lincoln. Over and out.
Wait a minute. I know you. You're Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You play basketball for the Los Angeles Lakers.
I'm sorry, son, but you must have me confused with someone else. My name is Roger Murdoch. I'm the co-pilot. Victor, why don't you get the coordinates on the altitude vector and find out the ratio of direct velocity over engine speed?
I've seen you play. My dad's got season tickets.
I think you should go back to your seat now, Joey. Right, Clarence?
Oh, he's not bothering anyone. Let him stay here.
All right, but just remember, my name is Roger Murdoch. I'm an airline pilot.
I think you're the greatest, but my dad says you don't work hard enough on defense. And he says that lots of times you don't even run down court. And that you don't really try, except during the playoffs.
The hell I don't. Listen to you. I've been hearing that crap ever since I was at UCLA. I'm out there busting my buns every night. Tell your old man to drag Walton and Lanier up and down the court for 48 minutes.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells out.
It says it all, it really does.
Well, guess what? Nobody tried last night at all. From what I understand, nobody tried.
But here's what's sad. It wasn't that much bigger than what the regular season has been so far. Oh, it was 184 to 75. Every game in the regular season so far has been 130 to 120. what the All-Star game used to be about 10 years ago.
I mean, my goodness. All right. And then LeBron says, the next 23 games, the most important 23 games of my career.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
What are you talking about?
and really, everyone and he this wonders why playing. Everybody this, doesn't like him.
This guy has won NBA titles. He has won Olympic gold medals. He has played basketball for his country, the whole thing. He has played. Okay, you add them all together, there's a lot more than 23 of them.
You just broke the NBA scoring record, for crying out loud. Shut your mouth.
I mean, now, if you want to sit there and say, hey, look, you know, I think these are 23 really important games for this season. We got to get it done. Okay, I'm with you. I got it.
Even that I don't buy because the Lakers stink.
Yeah, but at least I've got the star of the team saying, "Hey, look, this is important. This is important." Okay, so I'm for that, right? Yeah, you know, I think it's great that you know if you want to throw that kind of verbal passion into it, that's great. I'm fine with it. But don't tell me they're the 23 most important games of your career. No, I got a long list. Okay, of the 23 most important games of your career, and none of the ones you're about to play are going to make that list. Okay,
all right, but I'm serious. Like he and all of it, LeBron apologists wonder why people don't like this guy when they should. It's because of stupid comments like these, and everything else he's done in the media for all his entire career.
But you want to know why? Because he's always asked to comment on stuff over and over and over. He's asked all these questions over and over and over. He talks more than anybody because he's asked more than anybody.
The only problem is he's not asked to tweet 24/7 either and tweet at people and rip people on Twitter.
Which he does. I mean, yeah, I got it. That's part of his brand, but... That's why I've always referred to him on the show as Gandhi. and the reason is it's not personal against him. Okay? So don't just sit there and go, well, that's kind of a... The reason I call him that is the media treats him like he's Gandhi. Oh, he's going to sit down and talk. Let's listen.
Exactly.
Right, but you're not interviewing Gandhi. Come on. Hey, everybody, Mother Teresa's going to speak about poverty. Hold on a second. I think I want to sit down and listen. Okay?
All right. There you go.
Okay? But the media treats him like that. Everything. Oh, what's he going to say? It doesn't matter. I don't care. It's like, all right, fine. That's why I've always nicknamed him Gandhi, because the media treats him like, everybody, quiet. Gandhi's going to speak.
You know what's sad? His first pick last night was Joel Embiid, by the way, who was stupidly picked a all-star reserve. And he was LeBron's first pick, which just puts this whole stupidity show in a nutshell right now.
Was Embiid healthy enough to play?
I honestly don't know, to be honest with you, because we didn't really know if he was going to play. He didn't fly into Utah until that night, till like a couple hours before the game started.
I mean, because he's been banged up.
Yeah. So, I mean, I couldn't have cared two galloons if he would have played the game last night, but I just thought it was ironic that he's LeBron's first pick when he was voted a reserve.
How many times have you heard me say, in all other, like the Major League Baseball All-Star game, I would prefer if my pitcher didn't pitch?
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't want my pitcher pitching in the baseball All-Star game. What the heck do I want that for?
Just like I didn't want Aaron Judge in the Home Run Derby last year, and I'm glad he didn't.
Well, that was bad for the game, but that's typical Yankee stuff. No, I'm kidding. Okay.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
It's always what's best for the Yankees. No, but I mean, I wouldn't want my guy in the Home Run Derby either. I feel like it wrecks swings.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's a big part of it to me. But same thing with this. Now, I didn't watch it, but it sounds like that you had a bunch of guys just out there shooting and, like,
dunking, and that was about it.
Yeah. So. Now, the NBA's got to get its act together. And Charles Barkley is not wrong about what he's saying here.
Nope.
So let me give you the Charles Barkley
I've always given him credit for being as blunt as he's been about the overall product of the NBA. I've always respected that about him.
No, I mean, look, he speaks for a lot of people. Okay? And he's talking about the upcoming CBA. Okay? And in it, he said, quote, "They ain't steelworkers." That's what I've tried to tell everybody over and over again. Right? And you want to know who needs load management? You want to know who needs it? The woman that's going over to Wise Markets, working in the back near the loading dock, trying to make sure that her family has the best they can get, putting in a ton of hours, trying to get it done, okay? All those people you go by in construction sites, they're busting their backside, hot, cold, whatever it may be, they need load management, okay? So he was asked about the collective bargaining agreement. And he said, quote, let's see if there's attribution, if this was just in general. I think this was to a group of reporters, he said, in an interview with Salt Lake City reporters. Okay. "You can't take my money and then say you want to divorce me in 6 months to a year." He's talking about demanding to be traded. You can't take all my money and then say, hey, I want a divorce. So I'm pretty sure the next thing to come out of the CBA, that's going to be the next thing to come out in the CBA, collective bargaining agreement. I don't think there's no doubt in my mind that these guys are going to be locked out. He then went on to say, he says, you can't treat these owners and fans like crap, which these players are starting to do now with load management and then demand to be traded. Well, he's right.
100%.
Right? There was a father who took his son to a Cleveland Cavaliers Golden State Warriors game. 3 weeks ago, maybe it was. And this is the game that they're going to. And this was a point where Golden State had played a lot of games on the road and the whole deal. And guess what Steve Kerr did? Right? Steve Kerr sat everybody down. And then he said, yeah, I feel bad about that, but that's, you know, unfortunately, that's the business. What are you talking about? That's the business. That's not the business. Your business is to play. Okay? In Kobe Bryant's Hall of Fame induction speech, his widow, Vanessa Bryant, said, quote, Kobe played through injury after injury. He did not want to disappoint his fans. Well, he's right. For some reason, I don't know whether it's out of fear for the players. I have no idea why they fear the players. I don't get this. The load management thing, I am completely, I just find it so bizarre. I've already told you the Larry Bird story 100 times about his back, right?
Correct.
With the chiropractor?
Yes.
Right? He's not supposed to play. They say, yeah, you're gonna be without him for a week. That's what he's talking about. Is that they're warming up now? It's like, what? All right. So I already went through Jordan and how many games he played. So here are the number of games Kobe Bryant played in his career. 80, 82. This is once he got every once in a while, obviously, he'd be out with an injury. If you're injured, you're injured. I got it. But Kobe Bryant, right, is out there playing game after game after game. He played 82 games in the season four times. He played 80 games in the season So he played 80 games or better 7 different times in his career. Now, obviously, he had the Achilles, so he missed almost all the 14 seasons. After playing 78 games in 13. And then he got the Achilles, so he played 6 games. And then when he came back from the Achilles, he played the last 35. His last season there, he played 66 games. All right? And this guy played all the time. We talked about Jordan. Okay? Michael Jordan, who just turned 60. Okay? So Michael Jordan. Okay, his stats. Remember, you play 82 games in a season. Michael Jordan played 82 games, then blew his knee out, played 18. Then he played 82 games. Then in 87, played 82 games. In 88, played 81 games. In 89, played 82 games. In 90, played 82 games. In 91, played 80 games. Then played 78 games, missing 4 in 92. Then he only had the 17 games when he came back at the end of the 94 season. Then he played 82 games. Then he played 82 games. Then he played 82 games. Then he played 60 games with the Wizards. Oh, and by the way, his last season with the Wizards, he played 82 games. So you're talking about a guy that played 15 NBA seasons. In the 15 NBA seasons, he played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 of the 15, he played every game. It's 10 out of 15, he played every game. In other seasons, he missed one game, two games, four games. That's 13. Or excuse me, that'll end up being 12. 12 out of 15. One, he played 60 games. He got hurt with the Wizards. The other one was he came back from baseball, played 17 games. And the other one, he blew his knee out in the 18th game and had to miss the rest of the season. All the other years, he played 78 games or more. How's that possible? I thought you needed a break. Oh, and by the way, he also ended up playing in the playoffs. He played another 179 games in the playoffs. Okay. Load management. Really? Yikes. The sad state of affairs. Everything you've heard me say in the show. Okay? We need you, our audience, more than you need me. I need you more than you need me. You choose to listen to this show. The choice that we cherish, by the way. I mean, absolutely cherish. Right? Same thing with what these guys don't seem to understand. Okay? They need the fans more than the fans need them. I mean, seriously. And Kevin Durant's moved around so much now. You know, Kyrie Irving, I demand to be traded. You know, I'm an organization. I'm going, oh, thank God. I was hoping he'd tell us that. It was our mistake for acquiring him. All right, we'll come back more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKF. By the way, the other part, too, about LeBron. Michael Jordan, Dominique Wilkins, Kobe Bryant, all participating in the slam dunk contest in their career at one point or another. Larry Bird, the three-point contest. LeBron has never participated in any of that
stuff. Yeah, that I've never understood either.
Yeah. Okay, today at the Bruins-Ottawa game, President's Day, so they had an afternoon game. Bruins won it 3-1. Before the game, hey, look, mistakes happen, and you have to have the ability to laugh it off.
Accompanied by Bruins organist Ron Poster, please welcome Todd Angeli.
The players all got a laugh out of everybody. Did
what?
Look, these guys end up, they have to do two of them. Like, so, hey, you know what?
Happens.
I can't sing like him. And guess what? He laughed. The players laughed. You know what? It's fine. Just a funny moment. That's all it is.